You know, the word tells us that the disciples went around proclaiming the word of God, and then Jesus went after them with signs and wonders. And so that's what I pray is going to happen tonight. I'm going to share the word with you, and signs and wonders will follow. Turn to Acts chapter 10. If you have a Bible, you might want to follow along because we're going to read several scriptures today. In Acts chapter 10, there's what I think is a fairly well-known scripture. Peter is giving a defense of himself to some of the religious leaders, and he says, "You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." That part there that says that he was healing all who were oppressed by the devil brought a question into my mind, and that is, where does sickness come from? Does it all come from the devil? I want to look at several places that sickness comes from, and we're going to look at each one. Where does it come from? What's its source? And how should we deal with it according to the Word of God? This is a little bit of a teaser because although there are lots of sources that sickness comes from, I don't have time to tell you about all of them tonight. So if you'll allow me to, I suggest that I'm going to tell you about a couple of sources tonight, and then you got to come back next month to hear about all the rest of them, right? As we were singing and praising, I could see a picture in my mind of this place full of people praising God, worshiping God. When Grace asked for testimonies, I could see a picture of having to cut people off because there are too many people wanting to give too many testimonies. God wants to do some great things. Just tell folks. Tell folks, come on out. If you got a need, there's a problem, you need a miracle, I know where you need to go. I'll come pick you up if you need me to, and we're going to get you to where God can do something for you. Now look, none of us can do anything for anybody, but we can be open vessels to allow the Lord to move and to perform the miracles that He wants to perform. And that's what I hope will happen not only tonight, but every time we meet here in this place. So where does sickness come from? I want to first start with where sickness doesn't come from, okay? Usually, sickness doesn't come from God. I've known several people, they'll get sick, and you'll talk to them about, well, I'd like to pray for you, maybe pray for you that God would heal you. Well, I don't know why I've got this illness, but I guess God's trying to teach me something in this. And I just haven't learned my lesson yet, and so that's why I'm not well. Indeed, God does work all things together for our good. Yes, God can teach us lessons, and He teaches us lessons in all kinds of situations, but that doesn't mean that He has brought sickness on us in order to teach us something. Imagine a parent who would break his child's leg in order to teach that child something. Let's just take little Abby here, and if she doesn't do things right, Abby, we'll just break your arm, and that'll teach you, right? I mean, can you imagine a loving parent doing that? Isn't that silly? Well, oh, yeah, but human loving parents wouldn't do that, but God would. Why? Why do we think God would do that? A couple of nights ago, the grandkids were over staying at the house, and little Aiden, most of y'all don't know him, he's a six-year-old little boy. His hair is about the color of her kerchief there, that red, fiery red hair, and he is a fiery kid, okay? But he loves the Lord. So right before he went to bed, he said, "Granddaddy, tell me something about God." And I said, "Okay, I can tell you that God doesn't make people sick." And he says, "Well, who does then?" And I said, "Well, there are a lot of places. You know, sometimes germs make people sick. Sometimes people fall and hurt themselves, injuries. They'll get sick that way." He said, "And the devil makes people sick, right, Granddaddy?" And I said, "That's right." And he said, "You know, the devil must do that because he doesn't like us." And I thought, wow, how out of the mouths of babes comes the truth of the Word of God. Even a six-year-old little boy knows that the devil doesn't like us and the devil wants to make us sick. That six-year-old boy knows that if God loves us, He doesn't want to make us sick. He wants to make us well if we get sick. But you know, there are folks still say, "Well, I'm sick." And you say, "Okay, well, I'll pray for you." "Well, if it's God's will, He'll heal me." "Well, I believe it's God's will." "Well, you know, I don't know if it's God's will to heal me. So I don't know if I want you praying for me or not. Or if you do, just pray that whatever God's will is, that's what He'll do." Okay, we'll pray that way. But you know what's funny about that? They are certain that that sickness was put on them by God to teach them something. And that's why they're saying, "I'm not sure God wants me well. If it's His will to make me well, then He'll make me well." But you know what they'll do right after they tell you that? They'll go to the medicine cabinet and they'll get some ibuprofen or some aspirin, or they'll go to the doctor to see if the doctor can help them get well. Well, you know what? If God has made you sick, then what business do you have going to the doctor to try to make you well? You see, the problem is they don't even believe that God has made them sick. Otherwise, they wouldn't be trying to get well. They don't believe that baloney about, well, if it's God's will, we'll pray that way and heal. They don't believe that. They're afraid to pray an audacious prayer like, God, make me well. They're afraid God won't do anything. They're afraid they don't have any faith. I don't know what they're afraid of. But for sure, they don't believe that God made them sick. Now, I want to give you a couple of exceptions. In Acts, look at chapter 12 of Acts. And we're going to start in verse 21 and look at kind of the punchline of a story here. Acts chapter 12 and 21 says, "And on an appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat on the rostrum and began delivering an address to the people. And the people kept crying out, 'The voice of a god and not of a man.'" And apparently old Herod started believing what folks were saying about him, because the next verse says, "And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and he died." Listen, if God makes you sick, your affairs better be in order, because you're about to die. The only time that God makes folks sick is when he's bringing judgment on them. You don't pray for healing at that point. You just get ready to die. Look at Numbers chapter 11. Now, we can find lots of examples of this in the Word. I just want to give you a couple, one from each Testament. Numbers. Numbers 11, starting in verse 31. Now, remember, the children of Israel out in the wilderness were complaining because all they had to eat was manna, and they wanted some meat. And so in Numbers 11:31, God says, "I'm going to bring meat to them via these quail." So now there went forth a wind from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and let them fall beside the camp, about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and almost 2 cubits deep on the surface of the ground. Now listen, imagine that. These are about 1 million people in this group of people here. And around this group of people is a pile of quail 36 inches deep, 3 feet deep. And the people spent all day and all night and all the next day and gathered quail. He who gathered the least gathered 10 homers, which was about 11 bushels. And they spread them out themselves around the camp. And while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord struck the people with a very severe plague. So the name of the place was called, and I won't try to pronounce that, because there they buried the people who had been greedy. You see, the people were greedy. The people were grumbling. The people were complaining to God. And God brought judgment on them, and they died. When they got sick, they died. Now, maybe the devil doesn't make you sick, okay? But for sure, except in these few rare circumstances where God's bringing judgment, God doesn't want you sick. God wants to make you well. Except in those rare cases, sickness never comes from God. God didn't make you sick. God has promised he will make you well. Look at how much time Jesus spent on this earth healing people. Let's look at some scriptures. Just want to look at a couple. Let's start in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1, because this is going to tie into the next thing that I want to talk to you about. "And when he had come down from the mountain," talking about Jesus, "a great multitude followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and bowed down to him, saying, 'Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.' And he stretched out his hand and he touched him and he said, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, 'See that you tell no one.'" Anyway, it goes on. It says then in verse 5, "And when they had entered Capernaum, a centurion was there." And he talks about healing this boy that was lying paralyzed. Jesus spent all his time healing people. Maybe next time we can read some more of these scriptures. But you notice here where the guy with the leprosy says, "Well, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me well." Well, Jesus says, "Oh, of course. Well, yeah. What else would I do?" So diseases don't come from God. Sickness and illness doesn't come from God. But it comes from lots of places. It can come from, like I said before, just germs and microbes and the wrong kind of bacteria. It can come from injuries, can come from generational curses, can come from genetic defects. There's just all kinds of places that sickness and injury can come from. Disobeying God's laws is a great place where sickness comes from. But tonight, I want to kind of concentrate on this source of sickness that Aiden and I were talking about, and that is sometimes the devil brings sickness onto us. And when he does it in the form of something called a spirit of infirmity. Turn to Luke chapter 13. Now, when I'm talking about a spirit of infirmity, what I mean is an illness that is caused by demonic activity or caused by a demon of some kind. We're not talking about demon possession. We're not saying the person is demon possessed. We're saying that the illness that they have has either come from or been exacerbated by demonic activity. In Luke 13, starting in verse 10, "And Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit." In the King James, I believe, it calls it a spirit of infirmity. "And she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called over and he said to her, 'Woman, you are freed from your sickness.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again, and she began glorifying God." Now listen to what the religious officials were saying. "And the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath." Can you imagine that? "There are 6 days in which you can work. Therefore, come during one of them to get healed and not on the Sabbath day." But listen to what Jesus said. "You hypocrites, do not each of you on the Sabbath at least untie your ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham, as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath?" Jesus had compassion on her. Jesus wanted to set her free. The source of her illness, the source of her disease, was demonic activity. It was a devil, a demon. It was Satan. Have you ever known somebody that's always sick? They just have sort of one grave disease after the other, or sometimes two or three at a time. They're always needing to go to the doctor for something or take a pill, or they're always talking about their latest procedure that was done or their illness, whatever it may be. Have you known people like that? A lot of times those kind of folks, especially the ones that just seem to be covered up by all kinds of awful diseases, it's not uncommon that those folks have been afflicted by a spirit of infirmity. That spirit of infirmity has come on them and they just can't get well. Unfortunately, a lot of the folks that I have known like that, a spirit of infirmity comes on them, they start getting sick, and if you begin to talk to them for a while, you begin to discover they don't want to get well. They're actually inviting that evil spirit to stay around them. They're getting a payoff from this. They're getting people that sympathize with them. They're getting people to take care of them, act like they love them, show them some kind of care. Maybe they're getting out of work responsibility. I mean, who knows what it may be. They've got their condition that they're dealing with, and so everybody has to listen to them. And sometimes that happens. It's a very insidious thing that the devil starts something, and then the people themselves want to continue it on. They really don't want to get well, and that spirit of infirmity is feeding on that perverse pleasure that they're getting from staying sick. I'm not saying that everybody that has a lot of diseases wants to keep them, but you've been around folks like that. You've known folks like that. You start to pray, well, I don't know if I want you to pray for me. They need to be delivered from that spirit of infirmity and set free. Sometimes normal diseases are either brought to us by or they're exaggerated by demons. I think that spirits can bring or encourage diseases like arthritis, for instance, or cancer, or epilepsy, or mental illness. Now, notice I didn't say that if you have cancer, you have an evil spirit. But it's possible that there is a spirit of infirmity that's causing that cancer, or epilepsy, or any other number of diseases. If your cousin is mentally ill, that doesn't mean they're demon-possessed necessarily. But it's possible that a spirit of infirmity is afflicting them. Certainly, our enemy can have a hand in diseases, and we need to make sure that we're equipped and ready to fight against him on these things. It helps in these cases, I think, to be able to operate in one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's the gift of discernment. Turn to 1 Corinthians 12. There are 9 gifts listed here, and one of them is called the gift of discerning of spirits, or some have said the distinguishing of spirits. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 8, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by one Spirit. And to another the effecting or working of miracles. And to another prophecy. And another the distinguishing of spirits. To another the various kinds of tongues. And to another interpretation of tongues. Now, when it's talking about distinguishing of spirits or discerning of spirits, it's talking about not a talent that you might have, not something that you would have knowledge of, but it's talking about the Holy Spirit moves through you and tells you what's going on with that person. Like, you go to pray for somebody, they have cancer, and the Holy Spirit says, that's a spirit of infirmity. That's a spirit of cancer that has come upon them, and you need to deal with that spirit. See, that's how you know how to deal with those things and how to operate and take care of whatever it is that's going on. You know, he can tell us which evil spirit is at work, if one is at work at all. You don't want to be casting the devil out of somebody or rebuking an evil spirit if it's not a spirit that's causing the disease. You want to be praying correctly for the disease if you at all can. And so discerning of spirits helps that. Now, when you encounter someone that has a spirit of infirmity, or when you think you have an evil spirit that's causing sickness or disease with you, you need to deal with that in a very ruthless, obstinate way. You need to exercise the authority in the name of Jesus, the authority that he has given over evil spirits, and you need to drive them out and make sure they don't come back. Let's look at some examples here. We've already seen, we looked at Luke 13 a while ago. That was the story of this lady that was bent over, and Jesus said she's been afflicted 18 long years by this evil spirit. Look at how he dealt with this in verse 12. Woman, you are freed from this sickness. You see, that's a command. That's acting in authority. I'm taking authority over this evil spirit, and I'm telling you, lady, that you're free from it. And the devil is listening, and he knows that he's got to go. And then it also says that he lays hands on her. And as soon as Jesus lays hands on her, it says that spirit left her. There's lots of examples. We're just going to look at two. In Matthew 17, starting in verse 14, it says, "And when they came to the multitude, a man came to him, to Jesus, falling on his knees before him, and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and he's very ill.'" Now, some translations say an epileptic. We're not sure exactly what his condition was, but it looks like he had some kind of seizures. "For he often falls into the fire and falls into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't cure him. And Jesus said, 'O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked him." It says him. It means Jesus rebuked not the boy, but the demon. "And the demon came out of the boy, and the boy was cured at once." Now listen to this. "And so the disciples, kind of with their tails between their legs like a shy dog, come up to Jesus and say, 'Why couldn't we cast out this devil?' And Jesus said, 'Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing shall be impossible to you.'" And then listen to this. "But this kind does not come out except by fasting and prayer." Sometimes when we're dealing with a spirit of infirmity, we need to have been fasting and praying before we deal with that spirit. If there is a spirit of infirmity that is attacking you, rather than start dealing with it immediately, I would suggest to you that you start praying and fasting for a while. Or if somebody says, "I want you to come with me and pray for somebody," and the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, reveals that you're going to be dealing with a spirit of infirmity, I suggest you pray and fast some, because you want to be able to deal with that spirit. You need to be able to deal with it in the name of Jesus. You need to be able to tell it to leave and know that that's what's going to happen. Look at Mark 1. Did you know that Jesus had all authority over all demons, and then he turned around and gave that to us? Mark 1, verse 21, "And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and began to teach. And they were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority, and not like the religious leaders that they had now." Move down to verse 23. "And just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And the man cried out, saying, 'What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Be quiet and come out of him.' And throwing him into convulsions, the unclean spirit cried out with a loud voice, and he came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, 'What is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him.'" So Jesus was able to command unclean spirits, and I believe he has given us the exact same authority. He has delegated to us that authority. Turn to the next page back on Matthew 28, starting in verse 18.
This is the last words of Jesus on this earth to his disciples. And he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now listen to the next two words. Go, therefore. You see that word, therefore, connects this together. He's saying, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, I'm giving it to you. I'm delegating that authority to you. Therefore, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Mark 16, if you're not sure that that was a delegation of authority, Mark 16, starting in verse 17, this is the same time. We just see a little bit more of the words of Jesus here. And these signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out devils. I don't have the authority to cast out devils. When Jesus delegated that authority to me, he didn't give me the physical power to do that. What I'm doing when I tell a devil in the name of Jesus Christ, you be gone, I am using the name, the authority of Jesus, not my own authority, to cause that demon to leave. Matter of fact, those who believe, it says here that they'll not only cast out demons, but they'll also lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. That's because Jesus was given all authority over all diseases. He has delegated that to us. It's through the name of Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 10, and we're coming to a close here. Luke chapter 10 in verse 17, remember where Jesus sends out the 70 disciples to minister. He tells them, go cast out devils, heal the sick, do all of this stuff. Do it in my authority. Do it in the name of Jesus. And in verse 17, we see what happens when they finish their little mission trip. And the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Jesus has all authority over all demonic activity, and he has given that to us so that we too can say, Lord, this is really cool. Even demons are subject to us in your name. So we deal with spirits of infirmity with firm authority, using the name of Jesus to command them to loose the people that they have oppressed. Let me tell you a story about dealing with a spirit of infirmity. A fellow that I worked with once upon a time, a long time ago, had a cousin who was sick. She was gravely ill. It was as if something was shredding her insides and the doctors didn't know what it was. And so they brought her to Houston, where we lived at the time, to the medical center there, hoping she could get treatment. This guy asked if Debbie and I would go pray for her. The Lord spoke to us that this was a spirit of infirmity that was attacking this girl. And so we began to prepare for this, began to pray, and we start to work on getting together to go to the hospital. I happened to be in town at the time, and I said, Debbie, I'll come pick you up. I start to drive toward our house to get her, and I get a flat. And I get out to fix the flat, and I had had the tires rotated a couple of weeks before. They had a new guy at the Firestone place, and he put Loctite on the nuts that hold the tire on the car. And I couldn't get the nuts off. Nobody could. And had a AAA guy come up, well, you're going to have that car towed somewhere, and they're going to have to knock those nuts off and replace your wheel. So, okay. So I let Debbie know, and Debbie says, okay, I'll come get you. As she's leaving the neighborhood, she gets a flat. She fixes the flat and then gets another flat and puts the donut on. Now, while this is happening, she goes back to the house. She discovers that our cat is non-responsive, just kind of moping around. She doesn't know what's wrong. She picks the cat up, throws it in the car. I mean, we're real late by this time. But we're going to get to this girl, and we're going to pray for this girl no matter what the devil does to try to stop us. And so Debbie drives over to the vet's office, tells the vet, I don't know what's wrong with the cat, but I got to leave it with you because I'm going to pray for somebody. And she said, just a minute, let me pray for the cat first. And, of course, this vet's going, oh, man, what kind of a crazy person do I have on my hand? And Debbie lays hands on that cat and prays for that cat. And then leaves with the donut on the tire to come to me after two flats. Now, remember the cat, okay? So we finally get to the hospital. Now, when Debbie's driving toward where I am at the dealership to pick me up to take us to the hospital, she said it was just like there was this big wall that was in front of me. All of these things that were happening to keep us from going to the hospital was like a big wall. And she said, I realized that that was coming from the enemy. And I just told him in the name of Jesus to leave us alone. And she said it was just like the wall began to dissolve, just turned into fog and just lifted and left. And she knew we're going to make it to the hospital now. And so she picks me up. We go to the hospital. we pray for this girl, and in the name of Jesus, we rebuke those demons that are shredding her inside.
She hasn't been able to eat. She's been losing weight. They expect her to die at any time. And we told the spirit of death, you can't have her. This girl is going to live. In the name of Jesus Christ, devils, you get out of her and leave her alone. And immediately she started feeling better. Before we left the hospital, she started eating. She hadn't eaten in days. She had a hamburger right after that. She was looking good. She was feeling good. And we thought, woohoo. And yet the parents were saying things like, well, you know, we don't know if it's God's will to heal her now. And we don't know if we like this Oral Roberts stuff going on. And okay, that's fine. And we left, and they start talking to her. And the friend of mine is there, and they're trying to tell their daughter that she's not going to get well. Oh, well, you're feeling a little bit better now. You're just thinking you feel better because they prayed for you, but you know you're still sick, and you need to be careful. Don't get your hopes up now. And sure enough, by the next morning, she was right back in the same place that she was in the night before. So we come back, and we pray for her again. Now, this next time we prayed for her, her parents weren't there. Again, immediately, she starts feeling better. She starts eating. She starts doing well. The parents come back, find her doing well. Uh-oh, what's happened? Well, Dan and Debbie came and prayed for me. They go to my friend. You tell them not to come back. We've already got the casket picked out for her. We don't want her hopes being built up. You tell them not to come in anymore. And we snuck back in the hospital that night.
And we prayed for that girl again. But listen, they were so negative with her and so insistent that she was not able to retain her healing, because every time they'd start talking to her, those demons could just come right back. See, nobody was standing there with that girl saying, don't you let those demons come back. Don't you let the devil have this girl. Devil, you can't have her. In the name of Jesus Christ, you be gone. There was nobody there to tell her that, and they wouldn't let us stay there to do that. And within a couple of days, that girl was dead. Now, remember the cat? When Debbie goes back to pick up the cat the next day at the vet's office, the cat's doing better. Of course, because she prayed for him. And the vet says, you know, I don't know what was going on, but it was kind of like something was shredding the insides of your cat. But he's okay now. You see, the devil was trying to attack our cat with that exact same evil spirit that he had attacked that little girl. But you know what? When we walk in the authority of the name of Jesus, those demons just have no place in our lives. They can't do anything. They can't stop us. And matter of fact, unless we give it to them, they don't have the permission to continue to make us sick. Now, there's some other things the devil can do with symptoms, and we'll talk about those next time, okay? You got to come back to hear the rest of this to find out how to deal with other sicknesses and how to deal with lying symptoms that the devil seems to want to bring to us, okay?